Hello and welcome. It's hour number two of the Maller Show and the podcast, a Dodgers celebration around the nation. And this hour, a dedication to Kevin Cash. He has become my favorite manager after a World Series blooper. He will live in infamy for taking a pitcher out who was dominating a World Series start for no reason. Other than the analytics, we take a look at the analytics. Live by the analytics, die by the analytics. That's exactly what happened to the Tampa Bay Rays. The good guys, the Dodgers, win the World Series. We take a closer look at the panic button being pressed by Kevin Cash, the Rays manager, here in hour number two. You could say the Dodgers cashed in their World Series championship. Welcome in the beginning of another hour. It's the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere, coast to coast, border to border, and beyond. The vast Fox Sports Radio Network emanating live from inside the Magic Radio Box, also known as the Geico FSR Studios. We filibuster the overnight hours away, and I generally try to talk about different things every hour. I have a bit of attention deficit disorder. I get bored talking about the same thing, but I'm not going to get bored talking about the World Series, which is over. Finito. Done. Good guys won. The good guys won the World Series. Or did they just take a gift in the World Series? The Dodgers taking down the Tampa Bay Rays as they were down 1-0 until the sixth inning. That is the moment of the game, the sixth inning. Now, Corey Seager was the World Series MVP, and a lot of celebratory moments after the game there. And we had a great moment with Rob Manfred being booed. More on that later. It was great. But the better story this hour is in the losing locker room, because the Tampa Bay Rays took Blake Snell out of the game, and that opened the door. The Dodgers then took advantage. They scored on a wild pitch. They also scored on a ground ball to first. Didn't get a ball to the outfield after they got the runner on, and they still were able to get a run home, and then they added an insurance run with Mookie Betts later in the game. But they score a run on a wild pitch, got an RBI on a Corey Seager ground ball, and the bullpen. And I hate bullpen games. I didn't like this bullpen game, but the Dodgers were able to win the game as Julio Urias came in and pitched the final couple of innings there and shut the door. The door was open by the Rays front office and their manager, and then the door was closed shut by Julio Urias. Now, if you didn't watch the game here, this is a cosmic mistake is what this is. This is a Mercury in retrograde type of moment. I imagine we'll talk to Andrea here at some point, and she will confirm that. But your brain, I've talked to this from time to time, your brain only really remembers two things about a sporting event. You remember the emotional peak, and then you remember the outcome. Everything else gets lost over time. Right? You remember it hours after a game, but it's kind of like your dreams. And if you're a dreamer, you wake up, you remember your dreams vividly, and then within minutes of waking up, you forget your dreams. That's with, like, almost everybody is wired the same way. But in the case of being a sports fan, remembering only the emotional peak and then the end, that turning point happened, as we mentioned, in the sixth inning. Blake Snell, was holding a flamethrower, and he had given up a harmless single to Austin Barnes. Austin Barnes, with one out in the sixth inning, he was mowing down the Dodgers. And I was contemplating how they were going to lose that game and then blow game seven because they would have tight Tookie syndrome. And then manna from heaven, Kevin Cash came running out of the dugout like the dugout was on fire. Like there was an arsonist in the Rays dugout, and actually it turns out the arsonist was in the Rays bullpen, and he went out and took this dominant starting pitcher, took him out of the game, and then all kinds of fun for the Dodgers. So the question is, what do you make of Kevin Cash and his bizarre pitching change? The timing of it. I've got the Mona Lisa the button, and the Daily Double as well. The Daily Double. But why don't we hear, before we get into this, why don't we play some sound and we'll get into the meat of the monologue. Why don't we hear from Kevin Cash first? Kevin Cash, you'll hear him ask the question on why he decided that was the moment he had to take his overpowering, on this night anyway, starting pitcher out of the game.
Kevin, I know you guys try to be consistent, but can you explain what went into the decision to take out Blake? What was your motive there?
No, I mean, the only motive was that the lineup the Dodgers feature is as potent as any team in the league. Personally, I felt Blake had done his job and then some. Mookie coming around for the third time through. I value that. I totally respect and understand the questions that come with it. Blake gave us every opportunity to win. He was outstanding. They're not easy decisions, and that's where I came to the decision. I felt it was best after the guy got on base. Barnes hit the single. Didn't want Mookie or Seager seeing Blake a third time.
If you want to know what it sounds like when someone's lying, you just heard it right there. What Kevin Cash meant to say is, I screwed up. I panicked. He didn't say that, but that's exactly what happened. All right, now let's go to enemy of the show, Blake Snell. Twitch star Blake Snell. Bro, I'm risking my life. I'm not playing unless I get mine. Here is Snell pointing out that this was not your average garden variety pitching performance.
I believe in my stuff. I believe in what I was doing. I didn't walk nobody. They had two, you know, hits up the middle, you know. The slider to Barnes, you know, tip your cap, that was a bad pitch. He got a hit off that, good job. But for most of that game, man, I was dominating every outcome possible. So, and that lineup is so talented, like so talented. And yeah, I don't know. I'm proud in the way that, you know, I scouted them. I scouted myself. I'm just proud of everything I did to put the team in a situation to win. And I wanted to keep going, man. I felt so confident, you know, how I adjusted through seeing them a second time and what I was going to be able to do a third time. Like, man, I believed a lot in myself and what I did to, you know, hopefully see him a third time through and a fourth time if needed. I mean, I wanted to go that whole game. That was everything I wanted to do, was just, you know, burn the tank and see how far I could go.
Thank you, Jesus!
Oh, boy, how great is it that guy didn't win? I mean, thank you, Kevin Cash, for not allowing that bozo to win. Here's Mookie Betts. Mookie on the Fox post game, and he couldn't figure out what the hell the Rays were thinking with this move either.
I mean, I'm not exactly sure why. I'm not going to ask any questions. But he was pitching a great game. Barnsey let off with a hit, I think, right there. And we had a chance to do something, but I made a pitching change, and it seems like that's all we needed.
That's like me when I'm gambling and I get 7 points in a divisional game. I don't ask any questions. I just take the 7 points and I say thank you very much. All right, one more here. Cody Bellinger, who also felt that this moment of Kevin Cash overmanaging was a motivational effort. It was uplifting for the Dodgers.
I was shocked. We were kind of joking around. We were like, all right, way to get him out of there in the sixth like we planned. But not like that. But, yeah, and then we just kind of we rallied from there. And Snell had his stuff today. He was gross. Yeah, I would say that it uplifted us.
Well, to be fair, Snell's gross even when he doesn't have his stuff. But anyway, all right, ba-dum-bum. So the question, what did you make of Kevin Cash? Again, just to rephrase the question, what do you make of Kevin Cash? You heard some of the reaction. You heard Cash. You heard the pitcher taking out Blake Snell and a couple of Dodger guys. So I said Mona Lisa button and Daily Double. So number one. Kevin Cash will never, ever live this down. This is the defining moment of Kevin Cash as a big league manager and the defining moment of the gimmick that is Tampa Bay Rays baseball. All right, he will forever be known as the guy who had the game in control and gave the game to the other team, and he wasn't even playing in the game. And this is the manager that the Dodgers have been waiting for. They finally met their equal. Now, I am convinced that Blake Snell, if he had stayed in the game, he was going to go 7-8 innings and was not going to give up anything. And as an enemy combatant of our show, because of a social media rhubarb, Blake Snell was wonderful. I'll give him credit. Listen, I'm not beyond that. He pitched a very good game and was sure that the Dodgers were screwed. They were up Poop Creek without a paddle, and they were off balance. They were twisting and turning, and it looked like a bunch of Gumbies up there as they were tying themselves in knots. It was bad. It's like they were blindfolded. And this was tracking to be a Mona Lisa pitching performance. You think of some of the great pitching performances in the last 20 years in the postseason, and names like Mad Bum, Curt Schilling, Randy Johnson, Pedro Martinez, names like that pop up, classical performances. And this is the way it was going, right? Setting up a dramatic Game 7, and then Rays manager Kevin Cash came in. He said, I want to hijack the history. I want to hijack history, and I'm the smartest guy in the room, and instead of a Mona Lisa, I want to make it like a kindergarten finger painting contest is what I want to make it. It was pathetic and great at the same time. It's pretty sad, though, when the fans, like us, me and you, know immediately this is horrific. The Rays had the Dodgers on death row. The Dodgers were sitting on death row. The LA hitters, you heard the reaction from Mookie Betts and Cody Bellinger. They had a huge sigh of relief when this guy came out of the game. And the Dodgers were given clemency while they were on death row by the other team's manager. This is a miscarriage of justice for the Tampa Bay Rays. Not that I'm complaining. I am not complaining. Good job by you, Kevin Cash. Good job by you. I hope you keep that job for years and years to come. Now, secondly, for a long time behind these microphones, we have preached the gospel of the immortal words of the late, great Casey Stengel. Casey Stengel, a baseball icon from back many, many years ago before our time. And one of his great lines was that most ball games are lost, they're not won. And Game 6 of the World Series is a textbook example, right? The Rays, as a franchise, should hold some kind of war tribunal. They won't, but this was a World Series war crime, is what it was. As Kevin Cash, they would have been better off with Johnny Cash as the manager, okay? Kevin Cash, he hit the panic button. Panic, 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 panic. Just like that, he hit the panic button. Who does that? Kevin Cash. Well, Dave Roberts has done it in the past also. But he hit Kevin Cash. Stay focused. Kevin Cash hit the panic button because of a meaningless base hit by a not a great hitter in Austin Barnes. And he pulled a move that I would have expected Dave Roberts to pull. The only thing missing was Kevin Cash after the game saying, I really liked him in that spot. If he had said that, that would have completed the night. And so Kevin Cash turns out to be the hero the Dodgers needed, not the hero they deserve. All right, that is Kevin Cash. You peel back the onion, and this guy choked. There's no other way to say it. Now, I know there's a lot of baseball nerd writers that are defending Kevin Cash and saying it's not that big a deal. When in doubt, follow the gospel of the Bible of analytics, right? The Bible of analytics. Hallelujah! Analytics. Adhering to those principles. Common sense be damned. Common sense be damned. Now, referencing the Bible, isn't there a proverb in the Bible that says, live by the sword, die by the sword? I think they actually updated it. Live by the analytics, die by the analytics. I think that's the updated King James Bible. Now, as Joe Buck and John Smoltz said during the broadcast, the modern game of baseball is looking for reasons to take a dominant pitcher out of a game rather than trying to find reasons to leave the pitcher in. Oh, my God, third time through the lineup. His head's going to explode. And it's very annoying. And I know that the orgasmic writers, the stat guys love this. And they're like, no, the numbers say you're supposed to do it. But the numbers are based over a very long season. They're not based over a shortened seven-game series. And also keep in mind that every statistic has an outlier. And you cannot, there's no perfect statistical model. There's not. And the last word here. we're obviously excited on this show. Myself, Roberto, big Dodger apologist here. The Dodgers winning the World Series. It's been a long time coming. Been a long time coming since they reached the top of the mountain. We hope that they'll win more, but they might not. This might be it. This might be the only championship, and the team will be mediocre, and that's a possibility. But who knew that we would get the daily double? The daily double that not only did the Blue Crew win the Fall Classic, but the baseball community as a whole is now going to have to revisit its obsession with analytics. This has to be an aha moment. And I know the defense is, well, you got to dance with the one you brought and all those hokey cliches and all that, but this is a referendum on the analytical model. Micromanaging of pitchers. There are certain standards that are almost never challenged. Tampa Bay takes pride. They wear this as a badge of honor to do things the unorthodox way. And as we said, you live by the analytics, you die by the analytics. Analytics are a tool, right? It's like a shovel. And you got to dig a hole, and you can use a shovel, but there's other ways to dig the hole, right? You can get some heavy construction equipment that is not a shovel, and you can dig the hole. You don't always have to use the shovel. In this case, the Rays used the shovel and dug themselves their own grave. And the other thing about numbers and all that, I'm not like, oh my God, analytics are the worst thing in the world. No, they're just another way to examine a player or another way to examine how to strategically approach a baseball game. But the other thing is that people are not machines. Now, eventually there'll be robots that'll be playing sports. You know, 200, 300 years from now, if sports are still around, there'll be robots playing sports, probably sooner than that. And sometimes you have to trust your gut. What the hell is in your guts? What is in your chest? And we would like to believe that this will lead to a great awakening from the brainiacs, the Ivy League crowd in baseball that, yeah, maybe we should hold back a little bit, a wee bit on the analytics. To think that taking Blake Snell, who was pitching the game of his life, out of an elite performance in the World Series, he had thrown 73 pitches, and you take him out, what, because it's a numbers game? Because that bullpen? Here's the other thing. The Dodgers kicked the Tampa Bay Rays bullpen's ass the entire World Series. Like, that dominant bullpen was not that dominant. They were a bunch of jags, just another guy out there on the mound, most of the relief corps for the Tampa Bay Rays. And that reliance on analytics in the postseason is, say it with me now, overrated. Yeah, it's overrated. And I just don't think you can analyze situations the same in a playoff series that you can over a long regular season. I think that's been proven, and yet it continues on and on and on and on and on and on and on. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show. You want to talk about any of that? It is all fair game here. You can join the conversation at 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. As the Rays have their scapegoat, they've got the fall guy. Everyone's got to have a fall guy, and that would be Kevin Cash, who's got the big schnozola in this one, a disgraceful performance. He gets to wear the goat horns, and he's not the good kind of goat. He's the bad kind of goat, and he's, you know, goats smell, and he smells because that was terrible. It's absolutely horrible. All right, now we'll press on. We'll take your calls. 877-99 on Fox. Again, also on Twitter, at Ben Maller. We got Maller to the third degree coming up a little bit later in the hour, and we'll call this one Pouring Salt on the Wound. Pouring Salt on the Wound. We'll get to that, and we will do it next.
This year is our year. This is our year.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Only a few rare birds are able to listen to all 4 hours of the Ben Maller Show live overnight, but thanks to podcasting, you have no excuse to miss a second of our unorthodox chatter. Subscribe to the Ben Maller Show podcast on iTunes and give us 5 stars. It's quick, painless, and a noise management. And now live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
We are being objective here. Are there any Tampa Bay Rays fans that are left?
Nah, probably not.
Nah, probably.
We got a pizza party going on here.
Pizza! Pizza in the house, the pizza benefactor.
Now Roberto bought pizza.
Oh, Roberto bought it? Really?
Yeah. He's in a good mood, obviously.
He's in a party mood here.
Yeah.
Coop said no. He's like, no, I'm good, man. I
had a piece for Coop.
Oh, you did? That's good. Yeah, I mean, I'm doing that Fugazi diet where I'm fasting and all that.
I'm doing the same diet when I eat. You know, I stop eating when I die.
You stop eating. So you'll fast when you kick the bucket, fast. That's a good attitude. That's a good strategy. All right, the Maller Militia chiming in here. Supermarket Steve says, doesn't Nick Anderson look, while he's pitching, like Beaker from the Muppets would pitch if he was a baseball player? I didn't really think about that. Supermarket Steve.
That was just a terrible decision, right? Not because Blake's now with pitching so great, but because Mookie Betts was 0-for-5 against Blake Snell during the series, and then he was terrible against lefties this year. He was terrible. He was like hitting like 200 against lefties, and then you bring in a righty who throws nothing but hard fastballs. All right, thank you very much, man. I was so excited when it happened, man.
It's great. Roberto's happy. You're in a good mood here, Roberto. You should be in a good mood. And that's a story, though. The Tampa Bay Rays, a lot of the pundits were like, oh, that's the big advantage. The Tampa Bay Rays, they have the better bullpen. Those guys are going to be great. And I look at some of those earned run averages of those relievers for the Tampa Bay Rays, and I'm like, whee, who stinks? That guy Anderson, ERA of 9, loop-de-loop, who only pitched a third of an inning. He's a specialist. His ERA was over 7. Fairbanks, who they were slobbering all over on the broadcast, he had an ERA over 6. I mean, they were all getting hit. Every one of those relief pitchers was getting hit. And then the Dodgers guys came in and
Buddy McGraver game, yes!
I know. It's shocking. Gonsolin, he almost just let the whole game get away early in the first two innings of the game, and then after that...
Oh, and I already hated Katz as it was. Now I hate Katz even more.
Oh, yeah, because Gonsolin's a cat guy. Didn't I tell you, Roberto, we need to get guys scouting to only who like pit bulls and like violent dogs.
Bingo.
We don't need... If you like cats, I'm sorry. Go pitch for the Padres or something like that, or go play for the Giants, but not... Yeah, come on. Guys are like dogs. All right, let's go to the phones. The people would like to speak. The masses are standing by. Let's see here. Who shall we go to? Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Let's pick a caller by their name. Where to go? Let's say hello to Andrea, who is in Berkeley. She's got her star charts out there. We will find out what kind of curse Kevin Cash had on his head, what the cosmos said as to why he took stupid pills in the sixth inning of the World Series. Hello, Andrea.
Yes, well, congratulations, Ben, on the World Series and the Dodgers winning. And it's really interesting, you know, that Blake Snell was the one to have, you know, such a challenging game. He was pitching really well. His birthday, December 4, 1992, Sagittarius, but... Mars, which is really important for an athlete, energy, assertion, aggression in Cancer. Saturn was opposing it. Check this out. His power is thwarted. His actions meet with resistance. He feels frustrated and blocked, unable to fulfill desires easily. So Kevin Cash.
Blocked him. Kevin Cash blocked him.
Right?
It was in the star chart.
I mean,
wow! We should have. Oh my God, that's a big story right there. Put that on the Twitter feed, Coop.
Yes, I mean, people manifest as transits, Ben, and everything you know, Cash did. Snell was blocked by circumstances with people who
beyond
his goal.
Yes, beyond his control, right? Beyond his control, he didn't take himself out of the game.
No, he sure did not. He was pitching really well. So basically, when Saturn opposes Mars, it's like 1 foot on the gas, 1 foot on the brake. He was ready to keep going, and Kevin Cash had Uranus square Mars. He was getting impatient and is kind of a slave to sabermetrics. So basically, Snell was super angry. He has Moon in Aries. Mars is in Aries. Fits of anger. Wherever he places his attention, nature seems to place barriers in front of him.
Ooh, yeah, especially when he's on Twitch. You know, he gets there's a lot of barriers there. You know, bro, I'm risking my life. Right. I ain't playing unless I get mine.
Right. I remember he blocked you on Twitter. And
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's just interesting karmically what goes around comes around.
There you go. See, if he hadn't blocked, if he had not blocked me, Andrea, then he would have been left in the game and would have pitched 8 innings and would have been the story and we'd all be kissing his ass and everyone would say how great he is. But, well, unfortunately, he violated the golden rule. Bad job by him.
Yeah, no, it was quite interesting because, you know, when his ego was just constantly being bruised as his desires clashed with others, and that was Kevin Cash. So that was just really a battle of wills, and Cash is the manager, so what he says goes. And there was just fits of anger. He was cursing. I don't know if you know that. Snell was cursing when they took him out of the game.
Well, he always looks like he's got, I don't know if I can say how he looks, but he's got a certain look to him where he feels somewhat relaxed and kind of like your typical trope of a gamer.
Hmm.
You know what I'm talking about? Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about.
Like Sagittarius, kind of go with the flow and kind of have that quality about him. But
a little bit like that.
Mars is really the crucial planet for an athlete. It's energy, assertion, aggression. Saturn is discipline, limitation. So when you have Saturn opposed Mars, people are going to try to block you. Little did he know it would be his own manager.
That's right. Who knew? That's why you watch the games right there, because you have an epiphany like that. All right.
And well, Mercury retrograde.
Oh, that's right. Mercury in retrograde as well. That's the double whammy. All right. Well, thank you, Andrea. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Ben. Take good care. Congratulations on the Dodgers.
Thank you. Yes. Do I get a World Series bonus out of this? Am I getting extra money? No? Oh. Can I get a ring? Am I getting a ring?
We should, right?
You know how we're going to get a ring if the fans are allowed back next year, Roberto, will have ring night at Dodger Stadium.
Oh.
They'll give out replica rings.
I
so you're going to have to go to that. Are you going to sell that or are you going to keep
that
one?
No, I'll probably keep that.
You'll probably keep that one?
Yeah, well, yeah.
I got you.
But you know how expensive the tickets will be for that if they have that? Oh.
Let's hope they have that. I would mean people are back
in
the games.
Yeah,
that would be great. That would be wonderful. Actually, human beings watching the games.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
It is the Ben Maller Show as we press on and on and on further and further into the night. So we're going to file this one into the category of pouring salt onto the wound. Mookie Betts. Did you see what Mookie Betts said? I said this the other day, but the story, I did not see this in real time, but I've seen the quotes of Mookie Betts. And he had the, as my grandfather would say, the chutzpah to say to Big Poppy, he was interviewed by Big Poppy, he said, I thought I was going to be with the Red Sox for life. Now, I have two problems with that. Problem number one is Mookie never acted like he was going to be a Red Sox for life and at all. Like he was always kind of standoffish, and he never really seemed to embrace playing in Boston, which is fine. It's his right. But then you get traded and say, hey, I thought I was going to be a Red Sox for life. But this is like a good way to pour salt on the wound of the Red Sox and make them look bad while you're the good guy. The other thing here is that we know the Red Sox offered Mookie a ton of money. We don't know exactly how much, whether they matched the Dodgers' offer or they came close. They offered him $300 million or something like that. But there was Mookie Betts telling Red Sox legend David Ortiz, a former teammate, and this video was on Instagram, that he never expected to be traded to the Dodgers. And then he played the God card. He said, God always has a plan. But let me ask you, if Mookie had taken the $300 million offer from Boston, would that have been God's plan? I'm trying to figure out the workings on this. But, hey, I'm glad it worked out for the Dodgers and all that. And so we'll see. Maybe Jeter Downs will be the next great Red Sox. Or who else they give up? Connor Wong, the catcher, I think, was on that deal.
You got a Mexican. Alex Verdugo, baby.
That's right. Alex Verdugo. The greatest Red Sox hitter since Ted Williams, I think. No? All right. It's the Ben Maller Show on Fox. Let's say hello to Regina in Minnesota. Spin Cycle Regina. We haven't heard from her in a while. She's back. Hello, Spin Cycle Regina.
Hello, Ben. How are you?
Where have you been? Where have you been, Regina? Are you working now? Did you leave us behind for a job? What happened?
Yes, sir. I'm at the Cookie Mart, and they had me, I'm supposed to be part-time, but I've done 10 dates in a row, and I have been exhausted. So then once sixth inning happened, I was like throwing in the towel, and my little Cinderella team, they just crushed. They crushed.
What? Wait, you were pulling for the Rays?
Well, I always have to look for the underdog.
What are you, an enemy combatant of the show, Regina? What's wrong with you?
No, congratulations on the win. Congratulations.
Regina,
I have to go underdog. I'm Minnesotan. Are you serious? Everybody in Minnesota has to be an underdog rooter. Come on.
No, you don't. You don't. There's no rule. It's not a steadfast rule. You don't have to do that, Regina. Come on now, please. How dare you? All right, so what's the number one item people buy at the Quickie Mart? I'm going alcohol. Is it obvious? That's the obvious one. Is it booze?
No, tobacco product possible. They wrap their things up in different flavors of everything, and that's who I get overnight.
So it's not the booze. It's people getting smokes and getting like chewing tobacco and all that stuff, right? Yeah.
Yep. Okay. I just need some wraps.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Regina. I'm glad you checked in. I mean, tell them not to work you so much, please. We need you part of the show. It's very important here. All right. Time now for the instant trivia. You got Maller to the third degree. We'll do another Mookie Betts related Insta trivia to rub it in the Red Sox face. So here it is. Mookie Betts becoming the ninth player to homer in multiple World Series clinchers. He did when the Red Sox, who were cheating in 2018, beat the Dodgers. And he did it tonight, or last night, as the Dodgers beat the Rays. So Mookie Betts becoming the ninth player to homer in multiple World Series clinchers. The second to do so with multiple teams. See, the second to do it with multiple teams, he joins blank as the only other player to hit a home run in a World Series clincher for multiple teams. That is the Insta trivia. The answer next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
It's Maller 2020, and you can be heard in the democracy of the Ben Maller Show. We encourage and welcome the voice of the people. That would be you, following the voice of this show on Twitter. He's at Ben Maller. And you can tweet out and follow our executive producer. He is manning the phones. He is the liar, and the menace of the Fox Sports Radio Network. It's the Coop de Loop, Justin Cooper, and he's at UH Bronco Fan.
Wow. Eddie, it's the biggest package I've ever seen. Yeah.
And now live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
Maller to the third degree coming up here momentarily, but first, the Insta trivia. Another Mookie Betts-related question. He has become the ninth player to homer in multiple World Series clinches. He did it with the Red Sox when they cheated in 2018, and now with the Dodgers in a clean championship in 2020. He's the second to do it, hit multiple home runs in clinchers with multiple teams. He joins blank as the only other player to have done it. That is the question. What is the answer? And who do we have here? We have Shane O'Mac. Shane McMahon, guessed by Rob in Vegas. Tony Bobolinski from No Help in Minnesota. I don't know what he's been watching. Who else do we have? Paige down here. Paige down. Sean in Phoenix says, I don't know. The Reverend Jesse Jackson, guessed by Just Josh, one of the Cincinnati bros there. Scott in Rhode Island says, the old Iraq information minister. Manny Ramirez, guessed by George. Double O Mexican gives us Mookie Betts as his answer. Willie Randolph from Rob in Minnesota. Len Matuzak, guessed by Miguel on Fire. Keith Van Horn from Sly on the Insta trivia. Page down here. Cat People, guessed by Alf, the alien opiner. Milkman Mike says it has to be Yogi Bear and Boo Boo. Well, Milkman Mike in Colorado, that does not appear like I remember when I was a kid, Yogi Bear and Boo Boo. Do you have an answer, Eddie? Please, do you have an answer?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Len Cicada.
The great Len Cicada. Lenny Cicada. No, that is incorrect. The correct answer, Mr. October, Reggie Jackson. Reggie Jackson, the only other one to do it with two different teams.
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
All right, let's do it. Here we go. Third degree, Coop Daloop.
Last week you talked about how it was a bad idea for Major League Baseball to keep its two major 2020 changes going forward, the man on second base and the expanded playoffs. But now we are hearing that Adam Silver wants to keep the play-in format for the eighth seed moving forward. How do you feel about this sticking around, Ben?
Lame. It's lame. The NBA already has a play-in tournament. It's called the regular season. Hello! Adam Silver is looking to bail out crap teams and artificially put together some fake drama out of thin air for television. If you're not good enough over the course of the regular season or you have a player get hurt, sorry! That's how this works. You don't need to prop up middling teams. And the TV ratings weren't even that good for this thing. In reality, the winner of the play-in tournament is just their prize is to be cannon fodder against the number one seed. Next!
So the Jaguars just tied an NFL record for allowing at least 30 points in six consecutive games. Doug Marrone told the media that he knows his firing can happen at any time. However, most figured if he was going to be fired during the season, it would have been before the team's bye week, so that obviously didn't happen. Do you think he survives the season, Ben?
I'm optimistic, and I'll tell you why. Number one, Jacksonville's tanking. They got rid of their highly touted players, all those first-round picks in recent years. Jalen Ramsey, they dumped him off the Rams. Blake Bortles, Leonard Fournette, they're all gone. Defensive stars gone. So they treated those guys like the bubonic plague. They got rid of them. And so the way I look at it, if the Jags thought they were going to be good, we would have a different conversation. They thought they were going to suck. They suck. And so they're losing. That's what's supposed to happen. Next.
Ben, we have probably seen the last of Dustin Pedroia as he's played only 9 games since his 2017 cartilage replacement surgery. Didn't really take. Pedroia seemed destined for the Hall of Fame early in his career, but injuries derailed that. Is he still the best Red Sox second baseman of all time?
Well, if you believe in recency bias, Dustin Pedroia is the greatest second baseman, and he's the only player to win the MVP award, Rookie of the Year, World Series title, Gold Glove in the first 2 years of his career, but my guys in Boston, the old guys, are like Bobby Doerr from back in the day with Ted Williams, who's a Hall of Famer. Pedroia's not a Hall of Famer. How do we do?
You pass.
There it is. That's a winner. At the buzzer.